Chili Gonzalez is everywhere. The Canadian has been associated with some of the most famous names in pop, jazz, classical, and indie music, leading to a Polaris Prize nomination, Juno, and Grammy Award wins. At times, he's a producer with names like Feist, songwriter and performer alongside Daft Punk or Drake. Other times, he's a consummate showman, adorned in loungewear on stage, playing from his solo piano album Trilogy, his works for chamber music or pop crossover dissections. He's authored books about music and art, recorded the beloved Very Chilly Christmas album, and found fame with the French national soccer team. In fact, he spent significant time focusing on French culture in recent years, including his 2023 release French Kiss and a new live album, and last year's Gonzo neoclassical hip-hop effort. On Tuesday, April 22nd, Chili Gonzalez will perform on the Massey Hall stage. Coming back home, tickets at MasseyHall.com. Chili Gonzalez, welcome to the New Classical FM and The Oasis.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm thrilled to be here to talk to a classical audience because classical music was how I started in this game.
You know, you've worked in so many different genres, and I've worked in so many within broadcasting, and that's jazz and classical and pop music. Wherever I go, Chili Gonzalez always follows. You are so specific, but you have works in so many different platforms. So is it kind of music first and worry about the genre later?
Well, in a way, it's piano first, in the sense that piano is the instrument. It just won't die. I mean, since it got invented in the, I believe, 17th or 16th century, it just morphs into whatever it needs to be so that we hear it in electronic music and pop music. In rap music, especially, my God, is there piano in rap music?
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, you walk into any studio where any kind of music is made, and there's either a piano or at least the 12 notes of the piano represented on a keyboard. I've always said this is the great equalizer that renders all music, in a way, the same. And so as a pianist, the piano is always there. So I just go where the piano leads, and that's pretty much everywhere.
When you go to your website, chiligonzalez.com, you've put together this great timeline. It's very entertaining to read, I should point out. Pretty tight to a project, I would say, every 12 to 18 months. You've got a new book, an album, a stage project. What is fueling that level of output? Because it's a pace that sort of boggles as you look at it.
I work very quickly.
Okay.
I rely on a lot of collaborators, first of all. The problem is when you have a control freak musician or artist who wants to oversee every single part of what they do, that actually, I think, is the enemy of expressing oneself. So I learned that it's best to work under pressure in a kind of discomfort and allow my collaborators to tell me when to stop and then finish the project. So in that sense, I work quickly, and that's why I'm able to release so much music. If I were alone and trying to oversee everything myself, I doubt I would even get one album done to my satisfaction. So it's the same as a concert. When I'm performing on stage at Massey Hall, for example, I'm not looking to be completely in control and in my most comfortable mode. I'm looking to booby trap my own show to keep myself on my toes. I want to create discomfort on purpose, because I've learned that when I'm struggling, when I'm just trying to make it out of a hole that I've dug for myself, is when the audience sees me at my best. And I just learned over the years, when I have a comfortable show and I think, wow, this is just going so well, there's kind of a missing tension to it. And that's why I say in my song Neoclassical Massacre, I say, if there's no tension, if there's no passion, it won't hold my attention. I guess I'm old-fashioned.
You know, I'm dating a wonderful woman right now who's a musician, and I see her collective of friends, and I see sort of under the hood of what a musical life looks like. And it is what you're talking about. I mean, there's a structure to a certain point, but you kind of want to have these personalities and these different schedules and these different ideas all coming at you. That's where all the magic happens.
Absolutely. I'm of the mind that, okay, if it's only going to be made better if people are butting heads and people checking me on my ideas and hopefully making the whole thing better.
Let's talk a little bit about geography, because you've been here in Toronto, you've lived in different places. I think you're in Germany right now, right? Is that where we've reached?
Yeah, that's right. I'm in Cologne, Germany, where I basically split my time between Cologne, Germany and Paris, France.
Yeah. So France has kind of been the muse, it feels like, recently, certainly from your output, 2023, that great album cover with the French stick for French Kiss. Obviously, the big concert for the live album. So tell us about diving into French culture and the attraction at this point in your career and maybe during your life.
Well, I grew up in Montreal, so there was always the shadow of French culture. And I happen to love French classical music. The Impressionists were probably my gateway from being someone more interested in jazz. And they were admittedly some of the first composers to incorporate colors and harmonies from jazz music, but kind of formalizing them into a new language for classical music, such as Claude Debussy, Maurice Ravel, who's having a big...
big 150th, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And of course, Erik Satie, who's a little bit the odd man out in that group because he was a little bit ahead of his time, a bit more of a conceptual artist making music rather than a composer per se. But probably my favorite is the man who taught most of them, Gabriel Fauré, who is sometimes shuffled a bit to the side in the great pantheon of composers because he falls a bit in between the cracks of late Romantic music and Impressionism, which is kind of the big French contribution. But all that to say that I grew up with French culture, French movies, and France just welcomed me with open arms, seemingly understanding my combination of humor, eccentricity, but also understanding that behind that there was a very kind of goody two-shoes student of music, which is a big part of what I do as well, is, you know, it all started with the piano. And whether it's rapping or giving master classes or just acting like a general goofball on stage, all of that is not possible without the piano. Without the piano, I may be a second-rate comedian. Without the piano, I may be a third-rate rapper. But altogether, it's a musical universe based on a fantasy of what I think a musician should be, a person of my time. What can I say? You know, every Canadian knows that France, there's a lot to love and a lot to hate. It's a occasionally exasperating, but always very intense experience to spend time there. Very high highs and very low lows, I would say.
If you are just joining us, musician, composer, pianist, producer, rapper Chilly Gonzalez is on the line with us from Germany. His latest recording, well, it's actually a live recording of solo piano. There's also Gonzo. We talked about his French Kiss record. He's celebrating 20 years since his solo piano release, which became a trilogy. On Tuesday, April 22nd, he'll perform at Massey Hall. Tickets at MasseyHall.com. And Chilly, we're no stranger to the solo piano records here at the New Classical FM. People just absolutely love them. And looking back now, somewhere between Daft Punk and hip hop and Feist and stage shows, what propelled you to sit down at the piano and be a bit more naked in that respect, and then the trilogy that follows?
Well, I'm quite a passive artist in the sense that I wait for the project to find me. And it just so happens that the project kind of accidentally came to being when I was working with, rest in peace, Jane Birkin, an English woman, but a legend in France, Serge Gainsbourg's former wife. And I was working on an album with her. And it was a very intense affair. A lot of people around. It felt like being in the royal court, to be completely honest. And there was just moments I needed to let off some steam. And I would go over to a different studio in that complex of studios where there was a piano and a couple of microphones set up. And I just started to find things on the piano, which I'd always done, except usually I would have suggested that it become a song for a singer to sing, or maybe I would send it to an electronic producer to turn into something. But at that moment, more and more that I found the melodies on the piano, I started to think, maybe this is a kind of music that would please people, despite the fact that up till then I had really been doing kind of what I would call electro rap, also with a lot of my personality really put into the forefront. The idea of taking away that front end of the personality and showing the back end of my musical personality, the student of music, the goody two shoes, as I affectionately call him, was an interesting contrast to everything I'd done before. But I wasn't sure if it would be interesting to my then audience of, let's call it, hipster audience from the early 2000s. But when the album came out, not only did my hipster audience embrace it, but it just very quickly just went much further. And this album really was a giant breakthrough for me in 2004. I was the first to play it on an upright piano and to use the felt mute. You know, the felt mute.
Very popular. We hear it all the time these days.
Exactly. Yeah. It's now everywhere. I'm not saying that I invented it. I'm not saying that everyone who uses a felt mute copies me, but I certainly was the first to put out an album as a pop musician on an upright piano with a felt mute. And now I feel that there is, you know, many, many unclaimed musical children out there that in some cases I kind of shake my head at and think, okay, they've got some work to do, but also many people who ran with that style and made very, very beautiful music out of it. So like any style of music, there's good and bad practitioners.
Did it change the arc of your career? I mean, do you look at that moment and say, okay, it's kind of followed me everywhere?
Well, absolutely. That trilogy is, you know, I'm not dumb, and numbers don't lie, as rappers like to say.
Yeah.
So I understand that this is what, you know, my audience prefers from me. The issue is that I'm not a cynical, pandering musician.
Yeah.
And so, of course, I could have gone directly and done Solo Piano 2 2 years later, and maybe my career would have been a bit more straightforward. I'm not able to do that. I need to wait until I sincerely am again obsessed with solo piano music, when all I do is listen to solo piano music, and all I want to do is every morning get up, sit down at the bench, and find those melodies, find those harmonies. And it just hasn't been that way all the time. So Solo Piano took until 2012, the second volume. Third volume came out 2018. There may be a fourth, but I'm an artist. I'm not there to just pander. I'm lucky enough that I'm an independent artist that's been well advised and been very lucky, and I'm very grateful for the fact that I can make a good living off of what I do, to the point where I can take those risks and 100% follow where my unconscious wants to take me. And that, by the way, is what led me to do the first solo piano in the first place. So for me, the lesson from this accidental success of Solo Piano 1, the lesson is keep on letting your unconscious guide you. Keep on letting those accidents happen. And who knows what the next breakthrough will be. Otherwise, I join the ranks of a cynical, pandering musicians who just give the audience what they think they want every time. And I can't live with that.
So kind of getting back to our original moments of our conversation with how you feel about that. I mean, that does beg the question, with all these different projects, what can we expect at Massey Hall? What have you got planned?
Well, at Massey Hall, one can expect the extravaganza. That is to say, my concert is my work of art, where I can tell a complex, nuanced story about what my vision of what a musician is in our current landscape. That means that I'm going to represent all facets of what I do. There will be solo piano and a lot of it. There will be rap music. There will be acoustic translations of my electronic work. There will be collaborations. There will be guests on stage, by the way.
Yeah, of course. We can expect that in Toronto, for sure.
In Toronto, I have a lot of members of my musical family, and many of them will join me on stage. And it's going to be an entertainment extravaganza. This is a concert that was already meant to happen in 2021. Canceled because of COVID. The second round was supposed to be in 2023, canceled because of other health issues that happened. And now third time's the charm, baby.
It is. Chilly Gonzalez celebrating 20 years since Solo Piano. He has numerous recordings, as we've just heard about, over the last few years. Tuesday, April 22nd, performing on the Massey Hall stage. Tickets at MasseyHall.com. Let's listen more from Chilly Gonzalez. Chilly, it's just been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. See you soon.
It's Mark Wigmore, your look at arts and culture on the New Classical FM.